a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
I'll go just a little faster, see if I can get the hang of it. Here we go.
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy part to say. I'll sing thy part to say. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy part to save.
Psalm 127. And then I believe there's another verse over in Psalm. A few chapters over that I'd like to read. And 132. Psalm 127. All right, how many parents do we have in here this morning? Mamas or daddies, raise your hand. All right, I'm talking to you this morning, especially with all these little babies that we saw up here. This is the message that I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for this service today, for our baby day. And this talking about your kids and my kids. If you're a parent, listen very carefully. This message is for you this morning. Rest of you, just sit and listen and pray for the parents. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. When God gives you a child, He's rewarding you. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now notice, somebody with a bunch of kids is happy. Broke, but they're happy. Really, you could put, broke is the man whose quiver is full of them. But thank God he's happy. And if you don't believe you'll be broke, you wait. I told somebody the other day, they was talking about their having kids be born. I said, if you're going to buy anything, you better buy it now. Once they get here, it's over. For about 20-something years, and then maybe not then. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, Psalm 132. Psalm 132, verse 12. Psalm 132, verse 12. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. This is an unusual title for a message, but it just came to my heart the other day, just plain as day, and so that's what I'm going to preach on. And the title of the message is this morning to all the parents, here it is. There's somebody beside you now. There's more than just you. One thing that's hard for some people to realize, and especially men, I believe more than women, is that once you have a baby in the family, and you bring that child home, and you begin to raise that child in your house, and they begin to grow, go to school, or whatever, grow up, it's hard for a lot of people to realize that they now are responsible for another human being, another life. Some people have had kids for years and have still not realized that. Well, I'll tell you, I remember, you know, it never hit me. It never hit me. You know, when you're expecting a baby in the family and all that, you think, oh, wow, isn't it going to be great? Isn't it going to be great? Isn't it going to be great? But especially mothers, you think, oh, I'll have it and it'll be sweet and I'll cuddle it. And it'll get up against my neck and I'll just love it and fix its room cute and give it little baby toys and it'll smile and all of that. Listen, if that's the only perception you have of raising a child, it hasn't dawned on you yet what you're doing. You are responsible for a human life. Y'all listen to me this morning? One more time with feeling. You are responsible now for a human being. That human being is going to live forever and ever in heaven or hell. A lot of where it lives forever and ever is going to depend on you as a parent. What a tremendous responsibility is ours as parents. Listen, I know people that are more protective. I don't mean this bad. I know people that are more protective over their dogs than they are their kids. They keep their dogs in a fence. If they go to breed their dogs, this is a crude illustration, but it just popped in my head and I'm going to give it to you. They will not breed their dogs to nothing but a pedigree dog with papers just like their dog. And they'll just let their kids run out, run off with anybody, go anywhere, anytime. You know what that is? That's a form of insanity. If you let your dog run all over the county, you know what your dog's going to come home with? A bunch of little weird pups. That's right, brother. You don't know if they're blue tick, hound, dachshund, everything, and they're a mixture of both. They'll have short legs and a long body and polka dot and spots and everything else. That same thing will happen to your kids. It's a disgrace that people are more strict and protective over their animals than they are their own kids. Amen? He's talking about marrying off his daughter yesterday. Buddy, I guarantee you one thing. He checked him out to see if he's a thoroughbred, didn't you? If you didn't, you'd have been a disappointment to me, Dan. Yeah. I mean, you got to make sure they're the same. They got papers on them. and that they're a good stock. That's right. I told you the other Sunday, boy, I got three girls. One of them there and the other two in here. And there ain't no stray dog going to get one of my girls. You say, why? I'm keeping them fenced up. Oh, that's cruel. No, that's what's called having a brain. That's what's called having a brain. That's what God give you a brain for. To think. To think. This business of teenage girls coming in and saying, Mama, you have no right to tell me who I can go with. That's bull, brother. That's bull. Boy, if one of my girls ever told me that I didn't have the right to tell them where they could go and what they could do, oh, we would have a bad time. We'd have a bad time. I don't think a teenager, I'm not going to preach on this, teenagers should never put a sign on their door saying, no adults allowed. Stay out of my business. Stay out of my room. I mean, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. You parents are supposed to know. Wait till your dog comes out there and puts one on the dog lot. You know, leave my lot alone. Stay away from here. Well, you'd take a stick and hit him in the head with it. So you shut up, man. You eat what I give you and you sleep where I put you. And that's it. There's more than just you. You're responsible for a human life. Your problem is you've been so used to thinking about you all these years that suddenly you got a baby now. You need to realize it's not just you. It's not just you to feed and clothe anymore. You know, before the baby comes in the house, you can just say, well, you want to go buy a new dress or buy a pair of shoes or whatever and all of that. Then suddenly there's this other person. And this little person has to have shoes. And this little person has to have a dress. And this little person has to have a hat. And this little person has to have diapers. And this little person has to have, man, I went to the store and bought diapers. And I've been out of diapers 5 years now. And they sell them things at the store for $18 a box, man. $18 a box. And that was a long time ago. I don't know what they are now. That, you can rack up some money like that. You need to understand that you're responsible to feed and clothe it. There's special little brushes that won't hurt their head. There's special little soap that won't burn their eyes. There's special shampoo that is only baby shampoo. Can you believe that? I asked somebody one time, I said, well, what does a baby know the difference in your shampoo? They said, well, this shampoo, if it gets in your eyes, it won't burn you. And I thought, well, wonder why they just don't make everybody shampoo like it. I'd use that kind of shampoo. And then there wouldn't have to be no distinction. It ought to all not burn your eyes. But anyway, I don't understand why baby shampoo wouldn't burn your eyes, but adult shampoo should burn your eyes. But maybe they put something else in it. They have little socks. And the thing about babies is they grow out of them so fast, it's continually. Man, you can buy them, by the time they wear some of them things, they don't fit. You buy them an Easter outfit, and it's 3 weeks till Easter. Man, they done growed out of it time Easter gets here. And so you gotta realize that you are responsible. You are responsible as a parent. I believe a lot of people, it's never dawned on them. It's never hit them that you brought a human life into the world. It's not a joke. It's not, you know what people want to do? They want all the pleasures of married life, but not the responsibility, which is the result of those pleasures. Now, I want to tell you, if you are a parent, if you have brought a child into this world, whether you are a mother or a father, you are responsible for that child before God Almighty to feed it and clothe that baby and make sure it's God. It's not a joke, brother. This ain't funny. This ain't funny. It is a serious responsibility. It's not like somebody give you a house and say you keep that house painted. This thing's going to live forever. This thing's going to live forever. You're responsible to feed and clothe it. I mean, it's going to have teeth. It ain't yet, but it's going to have them. They got to be brushed. And them little teeth can rot real easy. And the bad thing about them little teeth rotting is it costs you a fortune to have one of them pulled or took out. And then if you fit, it's going to fall out anyway. You spend a fortune having teeth pulled that you wouldn't make them keep clean because you didn't want to boss it around. And you didn't want to make it do nothing. And then all his teeth rot out and it's crying, you got to take it to the dentist, which really means that you being more mean to it by not making it brush its teeth than you are be by letting it push you around and not brush its teeth. The moral of that story is make them brush their teeth. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, when you're little, man, a dentist is one scary dude, buddy. I mean, you are terrified of that guy. They strap you down in that chair, put one little light like that right there, right down over your face. Oh, Lord. You'll think it's judgment day. I mean, the dentist, he comes in, you think, my soul, what am I going to do? And listen, we're responsible for them. We're responsible for their physical well-being. And then, listen, there's more than just you when it comes to lifestyle. You know what a lot of people think? They think, well, we've been used to going out on Saturday nights, and we've been used to going dancing, and we've been used to going to clubs, and now we got this little brat here, and all of that. Well, maybe it might be that God gave you that little darling to make you straighten up a little bit. You're responsible for your lifestyle. You're responsible for that kid's lifestyle. It's not right. Yeah, I showed on the video last night over there at that church for the young people. A little bit of an interview with Sean Sellers. Sean Sellers, right now, I believe, is maybe 21, 22 years old. He's on death row, I think, in the state penitentiary for murdering his mother and daddy. He murdered them. Sean got into Satanism when he was about 15 or 16, a little younger than that. And they said, this boy sat around thinking about murder. He sat around thinking about killing his parents. The more he did for the devil, the more the devil started saying, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And little by little, for the ultimate sacrifice to prove his love to Satan, he went into his parents' room while they were asleep, took a .44 and shot them both in the head. They convicted him of the double murder. They put him in jail. And a lot of people say, oh, how could that boy do that to his parents? But you know where it got started? When he was 8 and 9 years old, his parents both worked all the time. They took him to one babysitter, then to another babysitter, then to another babysitter, then to another babysitter, then to another babysitter. And when he was about 10 years old, one of those babysitters introduced him to Satanism. And brother, y'all listen to me this morning? Y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying that boy, the end result of mom and dad laying there in the bed with a bullet through their head was their neglect to that boy when he was 10 years old by shoving him off on a babysitter that they didn't even know. Which leads me to say this morning with all the sincerity of my soul, and I believe this with all my heart. Listen, when your kids are little growing up, there are more important things than money, people. There's more important things than material things. Their soul, their lifestyle, their choices are more important than just being able to give them every material thing they ask for. Too many kids in America are being shoved off on babysitters and left while mama's out working somewhere and don't know what they're doing. Don't get me wrong. I know there are cases where mama has to. I know there are cases where you just can't have it. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying you've got a responsibility. That kid is your responsibility. There is no way in the world I would leave one of my kids. I must have been out of my mind nearly at an emergency with somebody I didn't even know. Somebody I didn't even know. I mean, they put them in microwave ovens. The kids have been on drugs. They've been neglected. They've been killed. They've been cooked. They've been tortured. They've been raped. And parents are responsible for just putting them off here and there. You got to remember when it comes to your lifestyle, you ain't the only one in the world. There's another life that you're responsible for. In other words, there's some parents, before they can raise their kids, need to do a lot of growing up themselves. It's a shame. It's a shame. I feel sorry for little old kids that's got mom and daddy. I've seen it happen where kids have to say, now mom and dad, make peace between the parents and be the intercessor and try to, little old 8 and 9 year old, now daddy, don't be mad at mama. She done it. Now mama, don't fuss at daddy and all that. And the poor little youngin' is put in the position to have to make peace. And no, that ought not to be the kids. Listen, you're a grown man. She's a grown woman. You ought to be able to get along with each other and act like a grown up, brother, so the kid wouldn't be putting that responsibility. You know what kids will do? They're going to follow you. Everything you say and do affects them. You want me to prove it? If a man, you show me a man that's mean to his wife or hateful to his wife or hits his wife, and every time I ask this, when I'm counseling him, I'm talking to him, I ask him, how did his daddy treat his mom, his wife? Same way. A boy, if you want to see how a boy will treat a woman, look how his daddy treats his mama, and you'll see how that boy will treat his woman. It's inside them. They grow up seeing it. They teach it. That reminds me, listen, that brings me to this. Girls, if you get you a boyfriend, you know what you better do? You better take a long look at his daddy. Because how his daddy does his mama, that's how he'll do you. It's bred inside of. I heard about the little boy one time. It was a bad snowy day, and the little boy went out and he's looking for his daddy. And he followed down the road, and his daddy was down near the bar drinking and sitting at a bar stool. And boy's sitting there at the bar stool, and next thing you know, he looked down and there was his little boy. And boy got mad and he said, son, what are you doing in a place like this? You know you're not supposed to be here. This is a wicked place and all that. He looked up and he said, daddy, I just followed your tracks. I'm telling you, brother, that daddy couldn't say nothing to that boy because little boys follow their daddy's tracks. I remember my daddy, when we lived over in Clinchville, we moved to Nebo when I was about 6, and we lived in Clinchville. I couldn't have been over 4 or 5 years old. My daddy would mow the grass, and when daddy was mowing the grass, when his foot would go down, he'd mash a place down in the grass, and I remember just as plain as day putting my feet in every one of his footprints. I remember doing this, and I'd step where he steps. I guess people thought I was stupid out there when they rode by and see me, you know, walking around looking down like this. They'd look at that little retarded boy following his daddy. But I don't know why I did that. I used to just walk around following and step like that. But I'm telling you, man, it gets like that as you grow up. You say, well, I know somebody. I mean, the only exceptions they are is when God works in a young man's heart. If God works in a boy's heart, then he can change and be good to a woman. But you better be careful, because it's rooted. It's rooted inside of him. It's part of his nature to follow his daddy. You daddies ought to set the example for your... You mom and daddies ought not to fuss, but if you ever do have a disagreement, it ought never to be in front of kids. My soul, control yourself, man. Control yourself. Listen, if I go in a house, and it's one of these houses where as soon as the kids get home, the TV's on, and it ain't turned off till 11 at night, and then you go in the house, and the woman's doing housework, and she's on the phone, and the TV's on, I'll guarantee you I can go to their kid's house, and their TV will be on. It's subconscious. It's in their mind. The TV's supposed to, anytime anybody's in the house, the TV is supposed to be on. I don't believe that's right. Matter of fact, I believe if you do that, you will soon have a low IQ. I believe it's bad for your intelligence. Because it's just same old dumb stuff over and over and over. You say, well, you're just a preacher. Listen, man, I'm talking about doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists and everything are saying that too much television is bad for anybody. 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 They're following your steps. You know, it's too bad. I'm going to say this and I'll be through. They'll follow your steps when it comes to church. When it comes to church, you better realize there's somebody besides you. There's somebody besides you. It's important to go to church. Your attitude toward church will show up in your kids. If you're one of these hit and miss kind, they're going to be a hit and miss kind. If you're one that just comes on Sunday morning, your kid's going to do the same thing. You listening to me? There's somebody besides you now. I'm going to say it again. There's somebody beside you now. Listen, buddy. So if you brought a human being into this world, you better straighten up. You better go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time you can, because your kids are going to pick up your church habits. They're going to pick it up subconsciously. You don't even have to try to teach them. They're saying, well, I grew up doing this. I'm going to carry it right on. If you're one of these, listen, that's why I stress coming to Sunday school. That's why you're going to want your kids come to Sunday school one of these days, and they're not going to come because you never taught them to by your example when they were little and growing up. Listen, brother, my girls know. My girls know that church starts at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, not 11 o'clock. Amen. Preach it, preacher. That's preaching, brother. I'm telling you this morning, we teach them by our example. It's a shame some of the little kids don't know no more about church than they do. One little kid told one preacher, he said, boy, I really like this church because the preacher stands up front and all the demons sit on the front. He meant deacons, you know. He didn't know the demons. He might have been right. I don't know. One little kid, he was real sick in church, and he got sick, and he said, Daddy, I'm about to throw up. And his daddy said, well, honey, hurry, run down the hall, go to the restroom, and throw up. And boy, he ran out, and it wasn't just a minute, he's back. And his daddy said, son, did you throw up? He said, yep. You feel better? Yeah. He said, how'd you do that so quick? Go right down there. He said, I just went out and threw up. He said, you went all the way down there to them restrooms and threw up? He said, oh, no, Daddy, there's a little box back to back. It says for the sick. Oh, boy. I'd have hated being the fella that had to get that offering out of that box, wouldn't you? It's like dried gravy in there with that money wrapped around it. My soul. Do you know how kids don't know nothing about church? Because mom and daddy don't take them. That's why. Mom and daddy don't take them. Amen? It's important to go regular. If you're one of these people that just goes to church on Easter and Christmas, that's how your kid's going to do it. If you're one of these that just comes Sunday morning, that's how you're... Ever what kind of person you want them to be, they're watching your life right now. They're watching your life right now. And you know what, kid? You know what you have to do, parents? If you want your kids to wind up here, you've got to go over here. Because you're pulling them. In other words, if I live this lifestyle right here, my kid's going to wind up back here. I got to be overly dedicated and fanatical to make them wind up here where I want them to be. What I'm saying is, there's a lot of things I do in my home, or I refuse to do in my home, that really wouldn't be wrong for me, but I just want my kids to wind up in a certain place, so I'm going to deprive myself of them things, so they'll wind up. See, can you understand what I'm saying? It means like there might be certain movies or something, it might be all right for me to watch, but I'm not going to do it, because if I do, they're going to say, well, Daddy, you done this, so I can do this. And Daddy, you done that, so I can do this. Daddy, you listen to your country and western music, and it talks about adultery, so I can listen to rock music talking about drugs. Amen? Amen. Preach it. Look up now. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. If you can't fuss at your kids for listening to satanic music when you listen to lust music. I don't like country music. I just don't like it. I mean, I'd like rock before I'd like country. You know, I can't stand somebody with their adenoids problems. And them greasy, hired, I mean, a bunch of adultery. And all they want to sing about, you show me five country songs by any artist that don't mention adultery or drinking liquor, and I'll get up and apologize next Sunday morning. You put up or shut up. And don't tell me that stuff don't you. Can I just go ahead and say this? Now, there's a lady recently said this. This woman was doing real good in church. Now, all you ladies, listen to me. This woman was doing real good in church for years and years and years. And then she said this. She said, you know what I started doing? She gave a testimony to someone in this church. She's not here today. She don't even live in the state. But she said, I started listening to 50s and 60s music. That's what she said. She said it wasn't nothing in it sinful. It's just, you know, help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. You know, I wish they all could be California. You know, just stuff like that, you know. Some of you messed up right there with me singing that little bit. And you know what she said? Y'all might as well look at me now. Let's get this over with, okay? I'm going to have to pull a tooth here. But you'll feel better if you'll let me do it.
Yes, sir.
You know what she said? She said, I started thinking about leaving my husband. She said, I wasn't satisfied at home. She said, I got grouchy at the kids. She said, nothing made me happy. That's what she said. She said it got to the place where I didn't like my house. I didn't like my husband. I didn't know what I want. I just don't know what I want. I'm just not happy anymore. How do you think that she got in a shape like that? Listen, if you leave one of them doors open, bugs is going to get in your house. And any time the door is open in your life, that's a road for the devil to get in. Oh, not me, preacher. I just like it. I don't pay no attention to the words. You're deceived. You're deceived because it's getting in you whether you realize it or not. Whether you realize it or not. And it's planting that spirit and that seed in there that really the real happy people are the ones out there swinging and sleeping around and hopping from motel and partner to partner and swap. That's the ones that's really got it made. And over the years, that'll begin to work on you. And then the devil will come on one day and say, oh, ain't you tired of this Christian life stuff? Ain't you tired of this husband? Why don't you just go on a vacation with just the girls? You're not going to do anything wrong. Just you and some girls go to the beach together. That's where the devil gets a woman. And when he gets you out there, then he fits you with something else. And then this nice man comes along. And he's just so nice. I mean, you wouldn't dare do anything sinful or anything, but he's just nice. And he starts telling you how good you look. And first thing you know, little by little by little by little, he's messed up your life. It'll take the joy of God out of your soul. And she said she had to get right. She had to get right. You're responsible for other church habits. I've seen people get mad and leave our church and take their kids to a dead church. That, you know what that is? That's an example of immaturity in the parents. Now, if I was you, brother, you listen to me? If I was you, and I did get mad at me or somebody in this church, you know what I'd do? I'd say, hey, I'm going to be a big boy and swallow this to keep my kids in a good Bible-believing church. I want my kids, these little babies, to grow up seeing people shout and wave their hands and say, and seeing people getting saved and being around young people serving God. I think you're about half out of your mind to take your kids to a dead church. Now, I know people accuse me of this, and they'll accuse me of that. Now, Danny thinks he's... I didn't say this is the only good church in the world. There's lots of good churches. But I'm saying, I think you're crazy. Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah. You say, well, as long as they're in church. That ain't right, brother. It ain't as long as they're in church. They need to be where the power is. They don't know it like you know it. They don't see it like you see it. They don't... Not feeling the old time power of God. I'd drive, I'd swallow my pride, I'd go to the altar, I'd ask forgiveness, I'd do whatever I had to keep my kids in a Bible believing church. I don't think the devil likes what I'm saying to you. I know he don't. You know why? Because he wants these kids. He wants these kids. I believe one of these days kids will look at mamas and daddies. They'll say, I heard of a girl on her last day said, Mama, you taught me how to dress sexy. You taught me how to twist when I walk. You taught me how to smoke. You taught me how to put my makeup on. Mama, you taught me how to look good and get a boyfriend and flirt. Mama, you never taught me about Jesus. Daddy, you taught me how to shoot a gun, clean a fish, work on a car, be a man, pay my bills, start a chainsaw, cut down a tree. But Daddy, you never talked to me about God. I leave you with this thought this morning, parents. There's somebody besides you now. You're going to be responsible for that individual, their lifestyle. You know what I think some of you parents need to do here this morning? You need to get a hold of them young'uns. I'm not talking about grabbing them like this, because some of them need that. I'm talking about get a hold on what's going on in their life and say, listen, let's sit down and talk about this thing. Don't leave an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 year old just up and say, let it make its own choices. That's why God give them to you, for you to guide them. There's somebody besides you now. I hope you do the right thing about it. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Please, no one move. Everyone stand still. Bow your head in prayer. Hear me? God's speaking to your heart this morning as a parent. You remember what I said a minute ago about you having to go 75 if you want them 50? If you want them 50, you got to go 75. If you want them 10 miles down the road, you got to go 12. You got to be willing to give up some things and change some things for your kids to turn out right. Amen. God's speaking to your heart this morning. You as a parent want to say, I want to get down there on my knees and I want to make things right to raise my kid right, teach it right, get our priorities straight in our home. You just come. Some are coming all over the building. They're coming right now. There's somebody beside you now. They're going to live forever and ever in eternity, somewhere. Somewhere they're going to live for eternity, heaven or hell. A lot of it's going to depend on you. How about it, my friend? Dear God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. Thank you for all these babies you've blessed us with in our church. Lord, what an awesome, big, gigantic responsibility that we have as parents. Lord, help me to be a better daddy. Please, I ain't much. God, I want to be what you want me to be. My girls, husband to my wife. Dear Lord, please bless our homes. Let us be what you want us to be for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray.